We have been studying from the first epistle of Peter and have looked at some lessons that have brought us to chapter 3, and that's where we will be beginning in just a moment this morning as we talk about sojourners and pilgrims. We're getting a lot of radio feedback, I think, for some reason. Did that stop now? Oh, thank you. All right. Sojourners and pilgrims in 1 Peter. And he talks about what that ought to do to us. The fact that we know this is not our home. This is not where we'll be permanently. That we have an eternal life that is beyond this world. That ought to change certain things in our behavior. And so we've been talking about excellent behavior over the last few weeks. And so we continue to do that this morning. And if the Lord permits us to, we'll have a couple more lessons that look at that same idea in the weeks to come. Before we get into today's lesson, I did just want to make one announcement. I forgot to give this to Wendell to make with the announcements at the conclusion today. But just a reminder to the junior high and high school class that there will be a meeting at our house on Friday of this week at 6:30. We really hope that everybody from the junior high and high school class can make that, and we are going to have some time for a devotion as well as just some time to spend together and fellowship with one another as well. So if you're in the junior high or high school class, we'd certainly love to have you at that meeting. If you have a friend that you'd like to bring to that, love to have them as well. Get with either me or Judy as far as details. If you want the correct details, get with Judy. If you're not concerned about that, then you can get with me. She will have all the correct details as far as time and all the things that go with that. Last week we talked about verses 1 through 6 in 1 Peter chapter 3, which was entitled Excelling as Wives, and what we needed to do if you are a wife to excel as being a wife. This time, we want to look just at verse 7, and then we'll also look at some things that are said in the passage that was just read in our hearing by John out of Ephesians chapter 5, where he deals also with a husband-wife relationship, likening it unto Christ and his church. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 reads, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers be not hindered." Men jokingly talk about the difficulty of understanding their wives. But I would tell you, all joking aside, that it is every bit as difficult as they may even kid about. And we're going to see some things within this passage that help us to understand that God wants us to grasp the fact of the difference of the two between husband and wife. And in either case, a wife will never understand her husband, all the whys and all the motivations behind the way he thinks, because she is female, he is male. A male will never understand the female either, as far as what motivates all the whys behind all of that. And it's not that God is saying you need to figure your wife out or you need to figure your husband out, as much as he's saying that we need to live with them in a certain fashion that allows us to accomplish the fulfillment of them the way that God would have us to. In the very beginning, when he created male and female and joined them together, and he said, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, the two shall become one flesh." When he brought them together that way, that is a fulfillment. He created woman as a help meet for man. And I would tell you, man was already created, or else it would be the same either way. Both are intended to be a completion of the other person in the relationship. And God's going to help us to understand in 1 Peter 3 by using, I think, some words that really help us to grasp that, help us to understand what it takes for us as husbands to be the completion of our wives. Very similar to the way he did in the first 6 verses, helping us to understand for the wives what it takes to be a completion for her husband. So I just want us to look at a lesson that we've entitled Excelling as Husbands, based out of 1 Peter 3, verse 7. It may be possible that if I had a whole series of pictures like this to project, I wouldn't have to say anything. It says, wives, without a word, maybe we could learn as husbands some things that would make our wives happy. But it isn't so much about the nature of making her happy or seeking to make her happy as much as it is seeking to fulfill her and fulfill the relationship that God has for me in that role. And I would tell you, that's where he starts. He says that we need to, as men, live with her in an understanding way. Husbands, likewise, in a similar fashion, the way I told the wives what they're supposed to do, you husbands also have instructions. And he says, live with your wives with understanding. Not understanding them, but with understanding. There's a difference in those two things. And I think that we understand that with other applications. One of the things we ask regularly in our marriage seminars is, how many people within the group have multiple children, and within that group that have multiple children, how many of you would say that the kids are completely different from one another? Born to the same parents, raised in the same household, same set of rules, and yet they react differently to things. That was certainly the case with us. And so as we would think about that, and you would look at our three sons, they would react differently to a lot of things. They reacted differently to responsibility and differently to school. They reacted differently to financial matters, how they handled money and how they still handle money. They reacted differently to things such as discipline. They are different in the way that they react to one another and to other people and how they have those kinds of interchanges. And I don't know why. I don't know why that is, that you would have three children, same parents, same rules, that would be so vastly different from one another in their approaches to things. I understand they are, and I think that's what God is saying. He's saying, Mark, you need to live the same way. You need to live with your children in an understanding way. What does that mean? Well, it means that as you would think in terms of Matthew or Daniel or Jonathan in our household, some of the things that Matthew needed were not needed by Daniel. I don't know why. I don't know why some things that Daniel needed weren't needed by Matthew or Jonathan, or vice versa, or that things needed by Jonathan weren't needed by the other two. But he says, if I understand that each child has different needs, I think that's what he would want me to grasp in that relationship, because what it allows me to do is understand what I need to do in order to be the proper fulfillment of a father to Matthew, to Daniel, and to Jonathan. It's not exactly the same thing. I do things differently for them. We did things differently for them when they were young. I think he's saying the same thing with our wives. He's saying, do you understand what she needs? Is the question. Live with her in an understanding way. She's different from you, and you are seeking to be a fulfillment of her. And so you're going to need to understand some things as to how she responds to different things. What kind of things does she need? And I think that's what he would have us to grasp. And there's a big difference between what it is that she may want, or what she may seek by way of happiness, and what she genuinely needs. Wants are those things that we have desire for, that we fancy, that we may even expect on occasion. Needs are more basic than that. Needs we crave. It's something that life can't function properly without. Wants have a tendency to be fickle. The needs are absolutely constant. Her needs will not change any more than the fundamental needs of your children don't change. The wants are sometimes insignificant, but needs are never insignificant. They are always absolutely fundamental and valuable to life. And so what I'm needing to do as a husband is trying to figure out, how do I seek to fulfill her needs? Well, what is it that she needs? If I, as a husband, am thinking, you know what, I want to understand what she needs, how am I going to know what she needs? How do you know what your wife needs? Well, there are different ways to understand that. There are things that are written that are helpful. There are a lot of good books. There are many times in life that we read a lot of books about a lot of things. But the amount of people that are buying books to try and find out how to be a better husband or how to be a better wife aren't nearly as many as we should be. Trying to find out, are there things that would help me understand her better, understand what she needs better, or vice versa, understanding him. There are opportunities to read good material on that. But I would tell you, even more fundamental than that, talk to her. Ask her, what is it that she most needs? What is it that would be the most fulfilling to her? When James Dobson wrote his book, What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women, which was years and years ago, good book, really good book, small book. I would encourage men to read it. It's obviously, it's been written long enough ago that there will be references in it that are fairly dated, but it's got good material. But one of the questions that was asked was, if your husband could give you or would give you one thing differently than he gives you now, what would that be? And it was interesting because wives almost across the board answered that the same way. He would give me more time. That's one of the things that they look for. Because in Ephesians chapter 5, as Paul is writing there, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Her primary need is love. There is no question about that. God has created women so that their primary need is love. That's why he commanded men to love them. The same as a man's primary need in a relationship like that is respect. And so he commanded wives, respect him. Both of those are fundamental needs to us being able to function properly. And so he says to the husbands, love your wives. What is it that demonstrates that love to her? What is it that is going to show her that that I love her the way that Christ loves his church? And women across the board would say, I would like more time. It's what makes me feel loved. It allows me to feel that he loves me. What is he devoting his time to? Why is it that the woman likes something like just going for a walk together or just turning the TV off and let's just chat together? It isn't the conversation itself, though that's a part of it. Quality time is a strong need of women. He's saying, understand, husbands, that she needs that. She needs connection in your world. We talk about this at the marriage retreats, and so I know this is repeat for several who have been. But one of the things we'll talk about is women asking men when they come home from work, how was work? And all men respond to that basically the same way. If you were to ask men, what's the response to that, men? What is the response to that? How was work today? Fine. That's the way men are responding. But most women would like more connection than that. It isn't that she's just nosy. She wants to be a part of who you are. And so Jesus uses words in Ephesians chapter 5 like nourishing her, feeding her, understanding that she has this craving for something. He says that we need to both cherish, and we'll come back to that in a minute, but he says nourish our wives. Really give them the nutrient that they are looking for here. That's not only a spiritual feeding, but it is a giving her what it is that she is craving. Why she wants to know what the conversation was like when you were on the phone with somebody. And I'll tell you, husbands and wives react differently to that. I can be on the phone for 45 minutes and she will ask me, what'd you talk about? And would like me to explain everything that I've talked about to whomever it was I was talking. She can be on the phone for 45 minutes and all I'm thinking when she hangs up is, please don't tell me what you talk about. I really don't care. And I'm not saying I don't care about her and her relationships. I'm saying there is no fundamental need in me that wants that connection. And so I'm perfectly fine with her having that conversation and not sharing it. But I need to understand that she's not. It isn't because she's nosy and I'm not. It isn't because she cares and I don't. It's because we have different needs in that relationship. And so I need to share with her. I need to reassure her of our love. One of the other things that we always ask in the marriage retreats is a question that husbands ask their wives that wives rarely, if ever, or excuse me, the other way around, a question that wives ask their husbands that husbands rarely, if ever, ask their wives. And it doesn't matter how long you've been married. Wives will ask the question, do you love me? Husbands rarely ask the question, do you love me? Why? Because that's not the reassurance we're looking for. We're okay with that relationship. We assume that love. She wants the reassurance of that. It isn't that she doubts your love. She wants to be reassured. And so we can express that just checking in for the sake of checking in. He says, as Christ loved the church, that's a sacrificial, a nourishing, a caring, a providing for kind of love. He says, we need to seek out and know what our wife needs. Won't always be exactly the same for every wife. But he says, as my role in my relationship, it is to dwell with my wife with understanding. Understand what it is that I need to be doing as a husband. She needs to be noticed. She needs to be complimented. One boy said, even if the success to marriage, said, you need to tell your wife she looks pretty even if she looks like a truck. It isn't just the saying of something. It's noticing her. She wants to be noticed. And we need to do that through compliments and through physical affection and through scheduling time for her and letting her know that all of that is the case. Because secondly, he says that we need to do for her is to honor her. He said, likewise, husbands, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. That's a great word and a great description that he gives there. We're in a society that just bristles at the concept of the weaker vessel and of role relationship and of submission in a relationship and all of that. Our society, the whole movement to create equality between all people has lost the sight of the fact that equality doesn't mean that everybody fulfills the same role. God has said there's neither male nor female before Him, and He's going to say that in this passage in a similar fashion as well. There's total equality before God, the man and the woman. That's not the issue, but there is a difference in role relationship. And he said, the wife is the weaker vessel. I don't think by that he specifically means that she is physically weaker or that she certainly is not any spiritually weaker or that she is intellectually weaker. That's not the point that he's making. Though she is physically weaker as a standard rule of the way man and woman are created. But I don't think that's what he's dealing with. He's saying that there are vessels of different nature. And because of the society they were in, where women were very much second-class citizens, and the way that they were treated was very, very demeaning to them. He says to the husband that here's what I need you to do. I understand that there's a difference in the structure and in the fragility of the wife versus the husband. And he said, so as you're thinking about the weaker vessel, how would you treat the vessel that is most likely to be broken? You know, vessel to them was a container. So think in terms of, if you go in our house, there is a hutch that sits in the corner of the dining room where those dishes are on display that are rarely eaten off of. Do you have those? You know, I don't know how often we eat off of those, but typically only if there's company and only if it's a holiday. And then they're treated differently. They're put on display. They're put into a cabinet. Why? We've got a bunch of Corel dishes. Anybody got any of those Corel dishes? They claim unbreakable. Not really true. Just very difficult to break. But you put those in the cabinet, and if you drop one on the floor, there's not a great concern. And so letting the kids wash the Corel or letting the kids put up the Corel is never a question. But the kids weren't just given the china to wash the china and dry the china and put up the china because of the fragile nature of it. He says, you treat it differently. And I think he's trying to get husbands to understand you need to appreciate the value of your wife. You need to really, really portray to her you are the most valuable thing in this life to me. I understand that's outside my relationship with God and the redeeming salvation that He's provided for me, but He's saying in this life, on this earth, I need to make sure my wife understands she is the most valuable thing to me in the world. In Proverbs chapter 31, that passage that is familiar to us, especially regarding the idea of starting in around verse 10, the virtuous wife. He says, who can find an excellent wife? Or as the New King James says, a virtuous wife. Who, literally that word means a wife who excels, like we talked about last week. He said, who can find an excellent wife? He says, her value is far above rubies. Do we make sure she understands that? That I speak to her in such a fashion that shows her her value. That I talk to others in such a fashion that she knows her value. Look at Proverbs chapter 31, because after he says that, you get a little farther down into that chapter toward the end. And I love this description. After it's talked about this wife and the effort she puts forth into helping out her family and the things that she does to show her excellent nature, in verse 28, he writes, her children rise up and call her blessed. Isn't that a great picture? That isn't her children think she's blessed. They rise up and call her blessed. Let me tell you what a great mom you are. Let me hold your name up before other people. Her husband also, and he praises her. He doesn't just think things about her. He praises her. Let me tell you how much I appreciate what you are and who you are. Let me tell you how valuable you are to me. I know there are other things that you see mean something to me, but I want you to understand you are overwhelmingly the most valuable thing to me. Look what he says. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. How valuable does a wife feel when her husband says, you know what? I'm telling you, I've met some good women in this world. I'm talking good wives, good mothers, excellent women who strive to achieve greatness in their life for God. But I am telling you, they all pale in comparison to you. What does she feel like? So he says, husbands, you honor her that way. You let her know that she is incredibly valuable to you. There are a lot of things you can do that will show her that that's not the case, no matter what it is that you tell her. Here's an example that we've used before, but I think it puts forth the point. Because there's no question, the single biggest obstacle I have in my life to making sure my wife always understands that she's the most valuable thing to me is me. I get in my own way. There's no question. If I'm going to fail in that, and I don't always fail, but if I'm going to fail in that and showing her truly how valuable she is, it's because I've gotten in my own way somehow. Selfishness creeps into our lives. We understand that. So I want you to just picture this. You come home from work. You're tired. Been a tough day at work. It's been a tough week at work. You just want to sit down and get a little relaxation. Your wife says, you know what? I thought instead of doing a regular supper, I've made some sandwiches. I thought we could just have some sandwiches real quickly. And then we could put up all those blinds and those curtains that we bought last weekend that we've been wanting to put up. And you do what? It's almost like a punctured tire. You can hemorrhage the energy that's in your body, can't you? It's like, I'm so tired. Could we do that another night? I'm exhausted. It wasn't such a great day at work. And your wife says, you know what? Yeah, that's fine. I understand you're worn out. And so you grab the remote, you know, and something to drink and go sit down in the recliner while she continues to work on something else for dinner. And one of the buddies calls and says, hey, we're short somebody for the game tonight. Can you sub for us? And you spring up out of the chair. You're ready to throw on a uniform. ready to go play a little ball with the guys. What does it say to your wife as to what matters and what doesn't matter? Sometimes we don't think in terms of our actions in life, telling somebody something matters more than something else. We give the wrong impression. It's almost like we have plenty, almost superhuman energy to do the things that we want to do and lack all energy to do the things that are most necessary because we don't necessarily want to do them. I need to make sure my wife understands that her happiness matters to me, that her fulfillment matters to me, that I am interested in what she has to say. Proverbs 31 says he trusts her. We just took a quiz at the last retreat we were at where it talked about husbands, you get a certain amount of points if you let your wife drive within the last whatever time period it was. Have you let your wife drive wherever you were going? You get a certain amount of points. Then you had to take away a certain amount of points if you only let her drive because you were too tired to drive yourself or because you wanted to look at something or read something. Sometimes it's difficult for men to just trust in a lot of different realms and to say, you know what? I think you're probably right there. I think I missed the point here. If I tell my wife, you're welcome to share your opinion anytime you want, but it's always wrong, I don't actually tell her that. But if I express that by never accepting her opinion or her idea or taking her suggestion, how valuable does she feel her opinion is? He says, honor her. Make sure she understands. Tell her you need and value her input and you're willing to take it. Our egos get in the way sometimes, and so we need to make sure she understands that she is not ever taken for granted. But then I'll tell you, finally he says, a husband is a spiritual partner. He says, live with her in an understanding way, granting honor to the wife as fellow heir. I can tell you, one of the greatest revelations that I ever had, and that doesn't mean miraculous revelation, just something that came to my understanding in a different fashion. We spent years trying to teach my mom the gospel. And I know there are numerous people here that know that. And we spent years and years and couldn't figure out why she would never respond to the gospel. And then she did one day. And we praised the Lord then, we praise the Lord now that she responded to the gospel of Christ, was baptized into that relationship with him. But I can remember the first time I went back to Tampa, because I was living in Missouri at that time. I can remember the first time I went back to Tampa and sat in a congregation of God's people and realized truly for the first time that she was not only my mother, she was my sister. And what an incredible feeling that was. To understand a whole different relationship. You know what? Remember Jesus saying, these are my mother, these are my brothers and sisters. When they came to him and said, hey, your family's outside. Jesus said, this is my family. How great is it when our family is our family? He says, understand this about your wife. She is not just your wife. She is your sister in Christ, your fellow heir to the throne of God. Wow. How special should I treat my wife that way? He says, understand, Mark, you guys are on a common walk to heaven together. It isn't just about this here. As much as I love the relationship here and the fulfillment of that relationship here, and all the things that go with that, and all the companionship, and the friendship, and everything that goes with that. He said, it's beyond that. You've got eternity in the same home with God. He says, understand that. Treat her that way. And why? Why treat her that way? He says, because God listens to you when you do.
and does not when you do not. And that's just scary. He says that your prayers may not be hindered. That idea is literally, as we pointed out a couple of weeks ago, that is literally God saying, your prayers go no higher than the ceiling if you can't get this relationship right. How frightening is that? How frightening is that? He says, Mark, you better love your wife like Christ loved the church. Nourish and cherish her. She is the most valuable thing in our life on this earth. And he says, that is a husband who excels. A husband who excels is a husband who loves his wife like Christ loves the church and honors her, treats her as most valuable, as a fellow heir to the kingdom of God. Is that a tall order? Wow. There are times that I wish God had given me a little bit easier instructions. Have you ever thought that? When he teaches on forgiveness, sometimes I think, I wish he'd have made that a little easier. But he said, no, I just want you to forgive like I forgive. That's tough. Or as he's already said in this chapter, in this epistle, he said, here's all I'm asking from you. Be holy as I am holy. Wow. He's not asking for a little bit. He's asking for everything. Love like I love. See what he does? He says it's a tall order. But there is no greater testimony to the world as to God's relationship with us than husbands and wives excelling the way that God says to excel as husbands and wives, because he himself said that is a picture of Jesus Christ and his church. What an opportunity we have to show the world Jesus Christ through our marriages. Hope that we're doing that. We need to excel as husbands and wives. If you're not, talk to your husband, talk to your wife. Start today and say, I'm going to excel in that department. Just getting by, just surviving is no longer good enough. I want to thrive in that relationship, and I'm going to do whatever it takes for it to be a thriving relationship, not just for what is happening here, but for the glory that it brings to our God. If you're not a Christian, God says, that's what I would like from you, to come to me, to be married to me, so that we can have that absolutely faithful, loving relationship together. If you don't know how to do that, talk to us. We'd love to show you from his word the things that he says we need to do to join ourselves to him. For those of us that are Christians, may we understand now he's talked about as citizens, as employees or bosses, as wives, as husbands, we need to be excelling in that department. And he's going to tell us real shortly after this exactly why that is that we should excel. If we can help you today, respond to God. Let us know while we stand, while we sing.